What's good, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What up, what up? It's Charles or Chuck.
What's going on? You got Matt or Haz. We're here to talk to you. Tweak Talks, obviously. We actually already recorded some amazing Patreon content. A couple of really... What am I doing, man? I need Marcus here. I miss him. A couple great questions submitted by our patrons this week that we already answered, including but not limited to... you're in a bar fight and there are two smashers with you. Who are the two smashers that you choose? Which was, we had a blast talking about that. And the worst matchups we've experienced across all the Smash games. So check that out on tweaktalks.com/Patreon. Yeah, we have a lot of fun on the Patreon. So definitely check that out if you're interested in getting some bonus content from us weekly. It's a lot of fun. And you can submit questions. And we always encourage people to submit questions because it's a lot of fun.
And if you're a Smash nerd... Ooh. Gavin also does VOD reviews, and getting the perspective of one of the best players in the world and one of the most experienced players in the world through multiple Smash titles is very valuable, in my opinion, if you're trying to improve. So, and also, like, I feel like a lot of players, when they're first getting into it, they don't know how to VOD review. So also just seeing how a player, like, pauses certain things and asks certain questions, it's always a good way to learn.
Yeah.
Probably actually the most valuable thing about the Patreon is that. So check it out for sure. Yeah, guys, good to be back. I know we kind of had a week off from Let's Make Big Moves. It's good to be home, I think. We all kind of had a more of a low-key week, at least I did for sure. Very happy to be home and just kind of chill and be a spectator this weekend. Watched a bunch of Afterburner, some of the Japanese dude, I tried to make it through. It's so tough that the Japanese tournaments are so – it gets so late that it's early. You know what I'm saying? Like, they end at, like, 5:30 in the morning. I'm like, dude, I have work in 24 hours. Like, how am I supposed to fix this? Like, how is it supposed to work? But – watched a bunch of tournaments this weekend. Afterburner was sick. Shout out to Sonics for doing really well. I was looking through like the Lumi rank and all the different rankings, obviously, that we have going on coming into the beginning of the year. And as a caster, it's always the easiest thing to point to for like potential storylines, right? I was thinking about a lot of the rankings and where they are. And for me, like Sonics being fifth, like that's crazy low for him. I think if you ask like player skill wise, where would he be? It's like at worst top three. Right? Like top two at like the very worst. So him being fifth, kind of excited to see him go on like what could be like an interesting revenge tour of sorts. I know he thinks he should have been ranked higher. So I'm happy to see him start off his year. He didn't make it to New York City for Let's Make Big Moves, but he did go to Afterburner and get some really nice wins there. Reverse 3-0 Apollo Kage. Probably should have had that set to, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. But also getting some nice wins on Zomba as well and some other good players too. So it was a good, I mean, it's kind of what we expected from the tournament. Like things kind of went, you know, as expected. It was a great tournament though. Shout out to the Midwest putting together a really nice little tournament for us to watch and have a good time. So I don't know if you caught a lot of the sets, guys, but yeah.
I thought it was a good tournament. I thought Sonics was playing very confident in his top three sets versus like particularly Zomba. His edge guarding was insane. Like he was chasing high, he was committing to the homing attacks, like he was just like pretty ruthless. He looked very calm and collected and confident and like still had his like usual creativity. It just looked like he looked fresh, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you don't see a basketball player play for a month and it looks like they just have fresh legs and they're just playing really, really, you know, carefree almost and like not tired or exhausted. That's like the feeling I got watching Sonics play this weekend. Like, it just didn't look like he was considering that he could lose, even when he was down. Like, once he got a game, I would say, like, from then on, that's the Sonics you saw for the rest of the bracket where he was just consistent and just there was no one stopping him. So that's how I felt about that tournament in particular.
To add on to that, even the sets where he didn't play well, he still won them. Like the Apollo Kage set where he SD'd in game one and game two and lost both.
Some of the games he won were very dominant though. Like once he started winning, I feel like that's where he truly like won the bracket. Like the momentum from there was pretty wild.
100%. Yeah.
It's interesting as a player. Obviously, Sonics knows how to win with the defensive Sonic playstyle, but I think his biggest strength has always been in his advantage state.
Yeah, the damage output is
the damage output, particularly yes, and then usually the damage output and then the situation that follows.
He chases you. Yeah.
Yeah, the chase down, and he usually can get these specific resets that, I mean, even if you watch, he has literal setups in the forward smash, which is like one super broken Y can Sonic combo into that insanely powerful move, but he has the setups for it too, right? So shout out to Sonics, and I think the most impressive thing about Sonics, like many of the top players, no one showed him how to do it with the character, right? He had to kind of pioneer and innovate all of that. And even just as a player in general, coming into 2024, I mean, that's about a year ago, but my prediction when it was early 2024, I actually thought Sonics was going to be the next rank one player in the world. If not Sonics, my second pick was Spargo. And now that we're in early 2025, I just feel like it's so crazy to me because it feels like Sonics was so close to that number one spot, but he's rank five. So it's just wild to me. Just because of how many of those second places he got throughout the year, right? Just really so close so many times.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine.
Watching these, like, he's just ruthless once he hits you, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He, you know, obviously the game timer is going to be a little longer, but bro, his highlight reel is insane. Like, it's so good. Like, his mixtape goes crazy.
It's clean, you know? Bro. It's clean.
It's very clean. Was that Patreon content?
He gets the job done when he hits you, bro.
That was also Patreon content where we ranked like the quote unquote nicest players, like
the nice who list,
we talked
yeah.
about. That was really fun. Like it was like a vibes list almost is how we wanted to call it. Like you look at a player playing, you're like, this player is nice. Like not necessarily tournament results. Yeah. So that's another Patreon. It should still be on there too. We had a lot of fun with that one, man. That was crazy. That was a really fun one.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway.
But yeah, Gavin, I know you were talking about, or we were all talking about it last week, just how much harder it is to get that first place at any of these like majors or super majors. So I feel like Sonics is a player that once he kind of figures out how to get over that hump, and it's essentially the last hump or one of the biggest challenges a player has to go through. So looking forward to that. I think Sonics is going to have some promising results coming into 2025. By no means am I losing faith. Like I said, it is still surprising that he's fifth. But if I were to like see the tournament, like would I see him fifth? Probably not. Just in terms of if the whole top 10 were there.
I don't think we'll see one where he's seated fifth. I don't think we will. Right. So, yeah, it's a good point. Like the hurdle between second and first feels pretty noticeable sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I've had my share of like strings of like not being able to close it out. I think every player has had that, like a really rough second place loss, probably multiple for like long time players. And even, you know, this tournament isn't like a Supernova or Genesis, but it still was a very competitive tournament with a lot of great players and everyone had to travel out and all that stuff. So even something like this, you would be surprised how much this will probably help Sonics moving forward. It's not like a premium tier tournament, but it was very competitive. It was a big tournament. Like I said, everyone's traveling out. And
you got his run back versus someone that took one of those premier tournaments from him.
You'd be surprised. He might not even realize this, but you might be able to connect the dots in the future when he wins like a big tournament sometime this year. And I think you can credit this tournament win to that future success. Like another one I would compare it to is Syrup getting the IRL coin box win kind of recently. That W is so big for like some of these, especially because Syrup's young and still relatively new in terms of like being a super top player and, you know, wasn't like a household name in other titles. So, and then look at LMBM, right? He gets third, which is a couple placings higher than he would on a good day at other majors. And I think once you get that momentum going, you close out one of these like bigger tournaments, it does a lot for you in the future. I think in the intense game fives later on, or closing out sets against really good players, or breaking a hurdle in terms of placements you might not have reached before, or even winning that big trophy that you haven't been able to do often or ever. So I really think like just closing it out, even if it's not at the biggest tournament ever, will really lead to you closing it out at a big tournament later on. It's a consistent pattern I've always noticed for myself and for other players.
It's something we talk about all the time. Like, doing well at a tournament and winning a tournament are two very, very, very different things. Like, we've seen, how many players have we seen kind of creep into and take a top eight slot and then not really do much for the rest of, you know, their career as a Smash player? You know, it happens sometimes, or they make one big upset in a bracket and then go 0-2 after. Like, that's I feel like one of the true classics. But to actually win a big tournament like that, there's layers to it. Like, hardly anybody just comes up and just wins a tournament like that. It really does take time and steps and effort. And like you said, Gav, I love how you said it, because I told you, I'm on this Sonic's Revenge Tour, bro. I'm here for it. I really am, because I think he's one of the sickest to ever play Ultimate. I think if he needed anything, if he needed a spark of innovation or a spark of motivation, I think the ranking, he's going to be someone that responds well to a challenge, is what we've always seen from him.
So the combination of this W plus the ranking, you know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, I'm excited. I'd like to do a deeper dive onto it at some point. Maybe we could plan that out. But just like the main storylines from the rankings, because I've been thinking about it a lot, because I know a lot of people had problems with the rankings, etc. But they're there and they're locked in. Like, it is what it is. And you can feel however you feel about them. You can like them or hate them or whatever it is. But I think Spargo's number one and down the list. And there are so many storylines you could take from that. Mia being number two, taking upsets already early again. Like, there are just so many great storylines. Already
just being ranked above Akola too, like, that's a big one in itself.
It's huge, dude. It's huge. Yeah. There's some very cool storylines. Like, Ultimate at this stage obviously isn't as exciting as when we first unwrapped it and it was brand new, but I think there's a lot of shit to really appreciate. I mean, talk about being Syrup is a household name at this point, you know, which is, we talked about Syrup, we knew because obviously he's from your region, you played against him a whole lot, but like you said, he's really building this resume and building himself up to be someone who's not just a threat to maybe make top eights of tournaments, but he's starting to knock on the door to win these tournaments. He's getting close. Like, it's crazy how much cool shit has been going on in Ultimate. I'd really like to talk about it. So maybe next episode, if we don't have a ton to talk about, I think it's great to break down, not just here are the rankings, but here's what they mean. Like, it's so important that, you know, a lot of hard work goes into them, like them or not. And I think we got to start looking into it.
I mean, especially because something I'm always saying is like, oh, look at this player. They're doing really well. Like, what does this mean going into the next game? I feel like that's like a bridge I always mention, like, every week at this point. And same thing. Like, it's the same thing. Like, oh, these players are starting to creep up and break some. They're getting past some hurdles they were having a hard time with placements or like closing out a big tournament. And going into the next game, I think players that are doing that are big ones to look for, because they'll have that just like spark going into the next game, that confidence. Like, they're not new to this. Like, they've won before, kind of thing.
We are fast approaching the see me in the next Smash game era of this game. Like,
I think you can argue that we're there.
Hopefully.
Oh, man.
I think you can argue that we're in like the starting point of being there already. Like, we're probably already there.
See me in Ultimate. I love that.
Era. Oh, dude.
I mean,
so
by the time you see this episode, I don't want to jinx it, but by the time you see this episode, we might see some interesting information. So that whole like see me in the next Smash game might be even more likely. So
are we trying not to talk about it too much because you get memed on every time we do? You can't Sheen from Jimmy Neutron again.
Oh, like characters we want in Ultimate, blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I just don't want to like jinx it just in case it's not true. But I mean, there's so many Nintendo rumors. I'm sure everyone listening and watching has seen them to some extent. So, but yeah, basically I'm agreeing with Haz saying like, it's so hard not to connect thoughts about Smash Ultimate into the next Smash in some way.
Over six years old right now. So, I mean,
it's so crazy.
Huh?
It's gonna,
bro. Seven?
It's seven, I think.
Oh,
huh?
It's gonna be
getting
to the point where, bro, okay, not to like,
holy shit, Jesus.
You ever think about how much life has changed since
it's 7 years old? Ultimate's almost a decade old. Get me out of here.
So by the time the next Smash game comes out, it will be the longest wait for any Smash game ever.
I did the math at one point, like the
we're like already basically days, there, yeah. And we're obviously not getting one like next month, so it's going to be the longest.
Well, wait, hold
unless
on.
Unless Sakurai is like, this is the next Smash game, and it'll be available tomorrow.
So that's the fun thing about talking about Gavin with these things is he is like done, like he's literally like Charlie Day with like the you know whiteboard. You know, he's done everything. Read everything about every theory about when the new Switch is coming out, what games are coming. Smash,
yeah, not even just Smash stuff.
Rabbit hole goes much deeper and wider than that. It's ridiculous. But there's always, to me, with Nintendo, there's always this little X factor of like, they might just say fuck it and do whatever they want because they think it's going to do well, or they don't even care. They're just ready to keep things going here. They are kind of like an enigma in a lot of ways, in my opinion, like how they do things. Like they kind of just, they're very much kind of beat to the march to the beat of their own drum, if you will. Is that accurate, Gavin, or no? Yeah, which I think is so much a part of the fun of it,
right?
Which
is fun, yeah.
Yeah.
December 7th, 2018, and we are in January 2025, so it is older than 7 years.
Man.
It's been 3,000 years.
The longest wait was Brawl to Smash 4.
That wait was long.
It didn't feel long, though, because of PM.
Yes.
It didn't feel long to me, at least.
There was, like, rejuvenation, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, there was, like,
And the Melee stuff was, like, really picking up. That was the best era, bro. I'm sorry.
I always thought it was Melee to Brawl in my head, but Brawl to Smash 4 was slightly longer, and then Ultimate to whatever the next game is guaranteed to be the longest, just because we're already at the 7-year mark.
And what was the shortest? Smash 4 to Ultimate. 64
to Melee.
64 to Melee was like, was it in 13 months or something like that?
It was very short.
What?
Insane. Dude, oh yeah. It's like one of like the legendary things about Melee is like how fast the turnaround, like the turnaround cycle was for that game. They talk about it a lot.
And that's why there's like a lot of the YouTube content around Melee, or not a lot of it, but I've seen YouTube content where it's like the most beautiful mistake kind of angle, right? Where it's like there's all these glitches and stuff, but it's what makes competitive Melee fun or whatever. I don't know.
Absolutely, yeah.
I didn't know it was 13 months. That's a crazy turnaround, man.
It's like roughly a year. I don't remember the exact amount of months, but it's like
still about a year. Yeah. Insane. Like, comparatively to all these other things we're saying, like 7 years, 6 years, 1 year. Like,
Melee to Brawl?
What?
So Melee to Brawl was 7 years, right? Because 2001, 2008.
Sounds about right.
And then,
sure.
Well, the 3DS kind of makes it weird because I think Brawl to 3DS is shorter than Melee, I think.
You got to count 3DS. Well,
I think it's longer. I don't know. But yeah, it's very similar. A lot of it's very similar, but I do know for a fact that the upcoming gap will be the largest, which is crazy because it might not even be like a new game.
we'll see.
That's a whole different conversation, but yeah.
Well, it's going to be 8 years old before the next Smash game comes out.
At least,
right?
At least.
What college degrees can you get in 8 years? Like,
don't ask me. I'm a Smash
Masters. Player. You can go from
is Master. Oh, I thought Masters was 10. Okay, so eight.
No, wait.
You get a Master's degree.
Master's because it's 2 years after your bachelor's, right? A doctorate, maybe.
Oh my gosh. Perhaps. My God, someone could have
we done basically that. Have a doctorate in Smash Ultimate is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Holy shit,
oh my
bro.
God.
It's an always growing and changing field. Yeah.
Bro said master's degree and was like, oh, actually, like the master's are shorter.
Not long
than
out. It,
what the
like basically sure like I've been saying is it's approaching the longest wait right sure. now. And we
my
don't
wife
even have we don't even have the official console announcement yet. So it's going to be at least like 8.5, at least. So
Googling
it's going to be the
masters.
Longest wait for sure.
So instead of playing Smash Ultimate, I could have got a doctorate's degree.
I guess so.
Yes. Make the right choice?
Yes. You wouldn't be here right now, Charles.
True, 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 true.
True. You have to earn a bachelor's degree. Nice, yeah, sure. This sounds good. Okay, yeah, we got this. Yeah, we're good. I think there is so much to think. I mean, literally, I mean, he's not here, but Marcus got married and had a kid, right? Since or was he married before Ultimate came out? They have not been married 8 years. They've not been
no
married
way.
8 years.
Yeah, that would be.
I think you're right with your initial statement.
I mean, I got married. I mean, Charles's move. Like, there's just been so much, man. Like,
I moved as well.
You didn't have the cats, did you, when you first started Ultimate? You didn't have the cats? It's a big development in your life.
No.
Dude, that's crazy.
What were you doing when Ultimate dropped? Think about it.
When Ultimate dropped.
Playing Ultimate illegally.
I mean, I was living in the Midwest.
You're living Midwest.
And I would just play for 10 hours and that's it. That's what I did.
Damn, life was so different at the beginning of Ultimate.
I woke up and while I was asleep, I thought up down tilt dash attack with Wario. I thought of up throw up air with Wario. I thought of up tilt waft. And it all worked. It was awesome.
It's going to be really fun to be like, because we knew each other at that time, but it'll be really fun to like be a close friend of yours when the new Smash game, well, hopefully, I hope it's brand new, obviously, I think everybody does. But even if it isn't, like just kind of theory crafting and like thinking about new things like that was so like,
I'll be a different person for at least a year.
I was going to say, oh, okay, I'm glad you said it. I thought you were going to say a month. I was like, oh, please.
No, much
longer.
It might
change your life, bro.
Yeah.
It'll be so
every
fun,
every shower thought, every waking moment, it's going to be bad.
That's how it was, bro, when Ultimate came out. I mean, even Smash 4 was that way, but it was a little different because it kind of got drip-fed to us through 3DS, which was different because it's like, 3DS was weird because it's like, these things might be possible, but we might just suck because we're playing on a 3DS. Like,
and we don't have a C-stick.
People started modding. Yeah, people started modding.
It was so cool because it was pretty hard to play the game on a 3DS. I think they did a good job, but it wasn't easy as long-term Smash players, right? Like it took a little bit to be able to play well, or at least like kind of well. So when Wii U came out for me, like using a GameCube controller and just playing the game, and it was like
felt so good, you
know, obviously better like graphically and all that. It felt so easy to play it, like in a good way. Like it felt so good and easy to play it because of the 3DS. That I just felt invincible, bro. Like, I would go on Elite Smash, pick any character, or not Elite Smash, For Glory. I would go on For Glory. It'd be like 6 in the morning, gotta go to school in like 10 minutes. And I'd just
always
play like
fire it up,
games.
Dude. Yep.
I would just, I'll never forget when the game came out. Cause I mean, I was like this. I'm like this now, and I was like this back then. Where I knew, like, for the first few days, I hadn't lost a single game on Elite Smash or 4 Glory. And I remember one day before school, I hopped on and I got, like, Marth Tippered at, like, a ridiculously early percent to lose the game. And, like, my whole, like, day at school, I was just like, this person will never know that was, like, a week-long streak of winning and, all, like, just all mental, though. Like, all mental. Like, this person will never know the damage they did to, like, 16-year-old me or whatever it was.
That was me, by the way. I remember that. I remember that was my Marth.
Oh, mm-hmm. It was? Okay.
It was, yeah. Yeah. You know what sucks is that...
I'm pretty sure I was at, like, 30% and I got forward smashed in the corner. Like, because of rage being so crazy, like...
Yeah.
They didn't have the tag system back. That was new to Ultimate, right? Where you get someone's tag when you beat them. So we couldn't even verify or deny this. So it was me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even care that much, but it was
you
crazy.
You sound like you care still.
Something
you're talking
changed.
About it.
Something changed that day where I was no longer invincible in Smash 4. Like, I had been hurt.
Marth was crazy in Smash 4, bro. In the
Not
dude,
even
I
back
remember...
then, though. He had to get buffs.
Yeah, but still,
Marth
the
was
were,
ass.
Yeah.
Marth was ass on launch.
He was ass. Lucina was the wave for a long time.
I remember the three, especially the 3DS
she wasn't
days.
That good. She wasn't that good.
Same thing. Like 3DS being able to play Smash portably, it was like it was seriously like vibes of playing my like Game Boy underneath the sheets. You know what I mean? Where you know, like I'm just like, oh, I can play a couple more, and then I'm like, dude, I'm like it's like 2 a.m, 3 a.m. I'm still just playing. For Glory, yep. And there was so much to learn at that time too. It was so fun. That was a really fun
era. It was
era.
Cool. We'll never get something like that again,
dude. Smash Run.
I think I Smash truly Run. Have
Goated.
To look back
so good.
And appreciate like the dual like release thing. Mm-hmm. Like that's never gonna
happen again,
right? Yeah. Like it's not
probably not. No, there's no need.
Like,
for
the
it,
Switch is like a console and a handheld in one. Like there's no way they ever have like separate things like.
There you
We're
go,
not
going
to get Smash on mobile and then Smash on console. Like, there's no, we're never going to get that again. It was very interesting. It was just a few months of just, it was very fun, but it was so different and weird.
You can pretend, just take your Switch out of the dock. I was like, oh, it's a different, it's a whole different experience.
Nah.
Come on, man.
All right, this is truly the worst. The game
was different. When Wii U came out, it was literally different mechanically. Like characters were, the meta was a whole different thing in that like small couple month window. It was its own thing.
People like, couldn't play on the DS. Greninja, you just exploit that. Yep. Greninja.
Greninja was disgusting.
Greninja specifically is like the biggest one. Where like...
He got, yeah.
I don't even remember. I just remember that he was good in that one and not that good in Wii U.
Rosa was also, better.
Yeah. Rosa was very, very popular. Greninja was popular. Diddy Kong was popular, but not like Wii U popular.
No one knew yet. Or they held that knowledge. Like people hit it for sure. People knew. I'm almost positive people knew and they just hid that knowledge.
I thought my character was good because like people were getting hit by my stuff, obviously. It's 3DS.
Bowser Jr.
But yeah, I would just side B with Bowser Jr. and I was like, oh, okay.
Think of how crazy the Belmonts would have gone on 3DS, bro. Impossible to play against. Like they would just
done genuine damage to the game.
Yeah, they would have got nerfed, is what would have happened. Like not deserve it and just got nerfed. But
a crusty was... like take this audio bite, like while
like deep fried take this
over and over
god
and you just hear
it would have been so good for the culture, bro. It would have been so funny though. Be gone, you know, like just all day. I mean,
the
like,
demo
crackling.
Was cool too. You had Mario, Pikachu, Villager,
Mega Man, Baller. No, Link. You had Link too,
so you had five,
right? Yeah, I think it was five, or one of them wasn't playable.
No, it was
I think
five.
You're right. I think you're right. Yeah, because Link definitely wasn't
sure was
there.
Five.
It was Mario, Link, Pikachu, Villager, Mega Man.
I played Mario.
And if you were cool, you picked Mega Man. I'm sorry.
I played Mega Man. I was like,
you have to.
Okay. Also, insane that they made it four zoners and Mario. By the way, what a dog shit lineup in hindsight.
You have to pick Mega Man out of those five. You just have to pick the new cool guy.
Mario, what? Bro. There's no question. Also, Villager was new. By the way.
But Mega Man was new and cool.
Yeah, okay, that's true. Four zoners and Mario, that game was doomed. We should
I think Zero genuinely has a chance to get in the game.
I think so, too.
That would be sick.
In the new Smash.
I hope so, bro.
I know Sakurai doesn't like putting characters that were like already in fighting games, though. I know Mega Man's a little different because it's Mega Man, but...
Okay, Ryu and Ken are in the game.
I think Phoenix Wright would be in Smash if it wasn't for Marvel.
Same Sakurai, and then he put in Kazuya and Ken and Terry.
Like the
I
whole
think,
like surprise.
I think he has
like,
a chance, Gavin.
Like I don't think I think Phoenix Wright would have been in by now if it wasn't for Marvel 3.
I don't know about that.
I wonder if it's like
Monster Hunter might not get
it's
in
possible.
Now Marvel.
Do you think it's kind of like an adaptation thing where it's like, oh, Sakurai maybe like sees a character get like the adaptation of the character in a fighting game, and maybe he just doesn't feel like he wants to use those same mechanics, or I wonder if it's something along those lines. Yeah, yeah.
He likes
where
that.
It's like, it's already been done once. Like I don't want
to.
Yeah.
He likes to be surprising and all that.
He's got a little bit of an ego to him, which I respect. He definitely does.
It makes the game better. Yeah.
And he deserves it because he has made some of the best adaptations, or straight up the only adaptation of some characters. Captain Falcon's not a thing. But everyone knows him from
Smash.
That's
not real. Like, that is
not
a
character. Yeah, no, that's not a thing. Yeah, that's not a thing. It just isn't. But Sakurai willed it into existence for no reason, which is amazing. But, you know, to his credit, they kind of gave him, like, when they first gave him characters, yeah, he got Mario and DK and Yoshi and, like, whatever. But he also got a lot of bullshit, like Captain Falcon. And he really did made chicken salad out of chicken shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, what was that? You know, like, what the fuck? Ness? Yeah. How am I supposed to do anything with this? But he did. He worked magic, bro, and he was better off for it. Even Marth at that time, you know, in Melee, it's like, okay.
Yeah. It's like, but at the same time, I'm like 50-50 on the whole, like, oh, this character's already been in a fighting game. Like, maybe, like, it's hard to say. Because if enough time has passed, like, maybe he's down to put them in the game. Plus, a lot of these games, like, so. I think Sakurai, when he makes a character in Smash, he likes to like take their like original foundation and he like does the best he can with it. I really think that.
Like Sora. Like, Sora was Kingdom Hearts 1.
Pac-Man, we were always worried.
Actually true. It's factually true.
Pac-Man, we were always worried because there's a couple different versions of Pac-Man. But he just took the original Pac-Man and like made something cool. And for Mega Man, there's different versions of Mega Man. Like, it could have been a lot of different vibes. And he went with the classic and he like made it really, really good. So like, it just, I think it's worth taking that into account for characters coming to Smash as well.
Yeah.
Well, so I don't know. I think that, Zero would be super cool.
To be honest with you, that at least was the theme for, well, it was true in Smash 4 too, but in Ultimate for sure is like what they wanted to do and focus on. Because like, some character designs are not at all what I expected, like Cloud. Like, they use, like, Limit in his game is something you might use once per fight, you know? Like, it's not really something you spam over and over, but it's so, like, what a creative thing to do and, like, make it. Because when I think of Cloud, I think it's, dude, endless possibilities. What the hell? Like, the materia, summons, and all that shit. I was like, how does this even work? But he does such a good job, like, really boiling them down to their essentials. Like, even Ryu and Ken, they're super turbo versions, you know what I mean? But he threw in Flare and Fade.
He nails it, bro.
In flavor from Third Strike and from 4 because he's focused attack and all that stuff, but I'd like it, like, fuck, we're talking about the next Smash game once. How did we get here, Gavin? You did this.
I feel like it's fine to talk about, though. Like, I don't know why people
no, but the YouTube
what we want to talk about, chat, all right? Deal with it. We're excited.
We're in that part of, like, the timeline, though.
I'd like new things. Like, not just, like, oh, this is true to, like, they're like, Street Fighter 6 Ryu, you know, like which will obviously have a lot of the same things, but a
I
lot,
want Drive Rush. Right?
I think it's just hard.
Hey, instead of focus? Hey, hold on.
What I like about what he does with characters is he takes a character that you don't even consider what their definitive version is sometimes. Like, they have options, but you don't really think about, like, oh, this is the real Ryu. This is, like, not the real Ryu. Like, from a Street Fighter perspective, it's just the game evolving. But when he adds the character to Smash, it feels like you're playing the definitive version of that character. And I think that's so good, and it's such a good, like, philosophy to have when you're building a character, like, from the ground, to, like, make it feel like when you're playing Banjo-Kazooie, like, there's technically, like, a couple other routes they could have taken that would have really sucked. And he's definitely, and, like, I feel like because of all the characters he's added, if you're thinking of character that hasn't been added, you can put trust in that it will be the right version of the character. Like, 10 out of 10. Like, they're not going to add nuts and bolts Banjo. Like, Sakurai knows ball. He straight up knows ball, bro.
That's what I was going to say. Is he gets it, I think, is, like, the bottom line. Like, that's the easiest way to put it. Like, this
you
is how that
character trust him with your
character.
You just can. At least in terms of, like, the design visually and, like, the vibe it gives off. The character might suck competitively, but, like, that's not on him.
We're not talking about that, and that's something I want to make
except
very
off,
clear,
like,
right now.
They did a good job. He just
he's great. Yeah,
he just so happens to suck. Like, that's different. That's so different.
They don't care about that. Different. They just,
like, I'm not disappointed with like the Sakurai and Sephiroth. I just wish he was good, like, or better. Some people in the comments are going to talk about how he has a lot of potential. Blah blah blah. But, because even, like, recently we had a conversation about Dante and Smash. And that's a difficult one to even talk about. I mean, we just talked about that with Cloud, right? Where, like, there's lots of options.
Yeah.
I just, like, think if it's Dante was in Smash, would you look at it and be like, this is right? This is definitive? Like, I wonder.
I just think it's funny that you expose us for also talking about this while we're not on the podcast. It's like the only thing we ever talk about, basically. It's up there for sure. But again, I think it would be not like what is the true version of Dante. It's like what is Dante? Like, what is, you know what I mean? So it might have
things to add.
It might have something from 5. It might have like small references from 5, but mostly probably like 1 or whichever one people would consider like the most iconic, right?
Yeah.
Things that he's had across all of his games, like Stinger and stuff like that, you know, like he would do a good job. Like, that's never something
you can
I'm
always trust
about.
Him. I swear, like, always.
Well, you think he did a good job with Banjo, like the moveset in terms of like, not just faithful to the character, but like kind of fun. Like, do you?
Yeah,
think so?
I think so. I actually think, I think competitive and like online, like kind of muddies the vision But I think they did a good job. As someone that actually recently played Banjo-Tooie for the first time as well, I think they did a good job. I really appreciate, there's not many characters that have a super big difference between their dash and their run. A lot of Smash people might not even know the difference between a dash and a run, like truly. But Banjo has like the Banjo dash, and then when he transitions from dash into run, it goes into the Kazooie thing. I think that is so fucking cool that mm-hmm. they did that. Like, I think they look great. I think they added just enough from Tooie. They maybe could have done a little more. I think the moveset is very solid. It kind of feels like a slightly more gimmicky, like Mario vibe, like pick up and play. And I think for like a mascot from the 64, I think that's what the character should be. Yeah. Like, I don't think anyone ever picks Banjo and like, I think it's intuitive for the most part, other than the neutral B. And I don't think you have to do that if you're just playing for fun. I think the character is very intuitive. It feels like you're playing a mascot. It's just like Mario with like some more projectiles kind of feel. Like, you can just play it. So I think they nailed it. I really do. I think a lot of people give it a hard time just from him being kind of whack and competitive, and them also just not knowing ball. I think a lot of people just don't know ball.
Yeah. Well said, Gav. I know, yeah, you obviously think about this a whole lot, and it's just the idea that more characters can be in Smash and some of our faves. Like, Ultimate gave us pretty much every character you could ever really hope for, but damn, there are more characters out there for sure.
Yeah.
We'll see. And we won't get into that too much. Don't worry, chat. We got to talk about with the Switch 2 basically on the horizon. Wario 64 tweeted out. To me, that might as well be confirmed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it might as well be that.
That's a good point. Game. That is a good person to bring up. That is a reliable guy.
Very, very reliable account, I will say. Yeah. So I'm excited. There's a lot to look forward to, but still, you know, I do want to keep it in the pocket of talking about Ultimate 2, where the rankings just came out. I think we should break down, you know, all the exciting storylines coming up this year. It's something I've been thinking about just a lot throughout my day, is like, wow, this is cool. Like, bro, when Sparkle goes to Japan, it's going to be lit. It always is lit when he goes to Japan anyway, but now he's officially won. Get a rematch with Akola. Mia might be able to sneak a win in there. I don't know, dude. Like, I'm still excited for Ultimate overall, obviously. Still love the game and the scene and all that good stuff. So while we are very excited about the future, the present is also good as well, is what I'll say. Speaking of, you got a tournament coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
Reaper Invitational.
I'm going to the Reaper Invitational on the 19th.
It's in New York City.
You
got that graphic, Chris?
Bunch of good players, including some that weren't at Let's Make Big Moves, like Gluto is like the most notable, which I think is really cool. I'm looking forward to it. I've been practicing basically every day since I got home from LMBM. So I feel like I feel like freshly motivated and like ready to grind kind of mode. So I'm looking forward to it. I think this is a good opportunity to try some stuff, play to win, maybe get a little experimental. I'm really looking forward to it. Like Has said, the future is exciting, but I think staying present is also equally important. I'm really looking forward to that. I think that about wraps up the episode as well.
Yeah, it's a good lineup too for that. I'm excited to watch Ouch play, one of my favorite players to watch.
Yeah, that's another one.
We don't see him enough, at least not in USA as much. I'm sure he plays a lot in Canada, but I just feel like I haven't seen him play in a little while. So a lot of great players coming up. So it's a good episode.
Good episode, y'all. Thanks so much for supporting the Patreon. Like we said in the intro, we have a lot of cool stuff on there. Patreon.com/TweakTalks. Thank you for supporting the show as always. And see you later. Peace out.